If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Thank you. You've been listening to I Sauce Lost from Lacuna, a project from Holly Bowling and Ghostlight bandmate Tom Hamilton Jr., out now on Royal Potato Family Records. Lacuna is as much an ambient LP as it is a journey into raw improvisation from pianist Holly Bowling and guitarist Tom Hamilton Jr. Sure, tracks on this new LP from the pair could certainly be featured on one of your meditation apps, but in truth, these jams are far more exciting as a distinct piece of music that came together organically. You see, Holly was visiting Philadelphia last summer while pregnant with her first child. With Tom's new studio, The Ballroom, just recently completed, the pair found some time to just sit down and muck around. The results, as you've already heard, were so interesting that Tom and Holly decided to put out their 46-minute jam for the world to enjoy as Lacuna. I caught up with Tom to talk about Lacuna, and as our conversations tend to do, we meandered and talked about a bunch of stuff, including Ghostlight, more, and of course, Joe Russo's Almost Dead. It's a good thing you planned on building this studio before the pandemic, because it appears as though the studio got a lot of use during that time.
Dude, saved my fucking life, man. Really, a very, very fortuitous turn, man. It was maybe not financially, dropping your savings, you know, a month before a worldwide pandemic takes away your job for a year and a half. But, you know, yeah, dude, it was great. It was great to have it. You know, to once, you know, after like the initial lockdown was let up, mm-hmm. I was able to go to get out of my house every day, you know, and the building that my studio's in was empty pretty much. And it's 11 minutes door to door. So I was able to just kind of go in and fuck around.
And you did some great things. The Ooza Zoos record is great. That live show was hilarious and a lot of fun and amazing. But I wanted to talk to you about Lacuna, because this project probably doesn't happen if the pandemic doesn't last a year and a half. But it's fortuitous, right? Holly was out east traveling to visit family with a new baby, and she stopped into Philadelphia, and you take it from there.
Yeah, man. Well, it was actually before the baby. It was she was still pregnant, and, you know, yeah, it was just kind of a thing of, hey, I'm going to be going through East Coast, you know, we'd love to stop by and say hi or whatever. And I had the room all wired up and just ready to go anyway, because I, you know, I'd just been kind of working in there. And so her and Jeffrey came in and we kind of just caught up, you know. I mean, that was the longest we'd gone without seeing each other probably since we met. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, we just, and it was kind of like, hey, do you want to do some playing? And you know, I was like, you know, room's wired for video and sound. And so we just went in and just sat down, and, you know, Raina was there because her and Holly had been, I think they were going to do something. Oh, they were going to do like a cover of, that Bonnie Raitt tune.
Yeah.
I Can't Make You Love Me. So she was there. And Jeffrey was there, obviously, Holly's husband. And so they just kind of hopped on the two video cameras, and Holly and I just sat down and just, and we just played for whatever it was, 45 minutes, 50 minutes.
Was it totally improv, or did you plan anything, have any ground rules, or you just kind of just jammed?
No, we didn't talk. We didn't say anything about anything. We just played. And then when we were done, we were just like, oh, cool, that was fun. And then we packed up and left. And that was it. You know, there was no, like, oh, that was awesome, or hey, we should do this or that. It was just like, all right, that happened, and then we just kind of went about our lives. And then a few months later, in like February, I think it was, I was at the studio and kind of just going through some shit, like going through some hard drives, and I was like, oh, I stumbled upon the, you know, that session, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh, dude, this is, you know, this is fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I found the video for it, and I edited together the video with the audio and sent it over to Holly. I was like, dude, this is pretty good, man. We should do something with it. And I had done I did a solo piano stream earlier in the pandemic, and then I had that new band More, and you know, did a live stream with that. And so I was like, oh, man, maybe we do like a live stream with this thing. Or, you know, well, it wouldn't be live, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like just kind of talking about what should we do with it. And then, you know, I don't know. I was just kind of like, let me send it over to Kevin. And, you know, maybe we make this an album. And that was kind of it. You know, it was all very just kind of like happenstance. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe we try this. Oh, yeah, maybe we try that. And it just everything kind of just kept getting a green light after green light after green light. And we're like, all right, well, then I guess we're putting up this fucking record.
It's an ambient. They say it's an ambient record, or I don't know, a soft jazz record. It actually wouldn't be out of place on the Calm app or any of those, you know, apps either. It's really great. I've listened to it a couple of times, and it's really soothing. It's great. Are you using the same guitar throughout? The same acoustic throughout?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like I said, that's all just one continuous thing. You know, it just was what it was.
There's no post prod. It's all just exactly the way it sounds.
Yeah, that was it. I had like my effect rig going, and she had hers going, and yeah, that was it, man. It just fell out of us, you know, and. Yeah, it's like what you know, what else could he really ask for or something like that? You know, I mean, I definitely, you know, I mean, we both kind of come from more of a classical world than a jazz world.
Yeah.
You know, especially in this thing, which I think is, you know, it's cool. I mean, you know, it's like improvised new classical, you know, or something like that. You know, some kind of weird bullshitty title.
Is your relationship with her musically at this point pretty telepathic? I know when I see you guys on stage, she's always looking over and you're always looking over to her, obviously, as the two lead instruments. But is it getting to the point now where you sort of have an understanding of where she's headed musically and sonically and she does of you? Do you think that's the case?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a telepathy as much as it is. We both are just intent listeners, and right. You know, and I think that's kind of been our thing from the get go. Has been, you know, like from the first time that we jammed together, it was like, oh, okay, you know, she hears what I'm doing, and I hear what she's doing, and not only do we, you know, can we understand what each other is saying musically, but you know, we kind of, I guess, yeah, can feel where it's going and how to react, and we have that conversation, and you know, and that's just kind of our dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
We've never really talked about music, like as far as playing, like it's not something we really needed to talk about. So you know.
So obviously the piano is mic'd, and you're mic'd. It just seems like there's a lot, and I guess the ambient noise that's picked up is just from those mics. I mean, there's not a lot of production going on. Is that that's basically what you're saying, right?
Yeah, there's a couple, two mics on the piano, one mic on the guitar, and then we both had pickups in our instruments that went into effects.
Right.
Yeah. You know, she you know, she had her rig with her, so she has pickups that she put on the piano that run into her pedals, and I have a pickup on my guitar that ran into my pedals.
Right.
And that, yeah, that was it. I mean, I don't even think her shit was stereo. So it's like, you know, two piano, three piano, five inputs. That was it.
So what happens next with this project? You release the record, and then is that it? I don't think you can recreate this, right? It's just a matter of, do you do this sort of thing in a live setting, or do you just sort of, kind of a one and done sort of thing?
Well, I mean, we're not going to try to recreate the record. You know, the shows are a performance, and that's, you know, that's just what it is. You know, it's the two of us just not having a conversation before we go on stage and and just going for it, and whatever happens happens, you know, that's what we're gonna bring to the people. You know, we're just gonna go out there and improvise for, you know, 60-70 minutes, and that's it, you know. And it's a, you know, it's one of those things that we feel it's like, you know, you can't do 30 tour dates with it. Right. That would burn you out. But, you know, to do 4, which is what we're doing for the rest of this year, you know, 4 unique experiences that you get to give concert goers, I think that's a thing that's pretty fun.
Agreed. You regrouped after the pandemic and had everybody in to start recording Ghostlight.
Yeah.
How are those sessions going?
Great. We're actually in the middle of tracking right now. We did 4 sessions of like 5 to 10 days each, where we, you know, got the songs together.
Yeah.
And then we're in the middle of like a 10-day stretch right now, where we're, you know, doing all the tracking for everything except the keys, because Holly's on the road, I think, with Green Sky right now or something.
She will be.
So, yeah, so we're tracking the 4 of us live, and then she's going to come in after the Lacuna shows in Philly. She's going to stay in Philly for a few days, and we're going to knock out all the keyboard overdubs.
You don't expect that record to be done until the new year, right? I mean, that's a 2022 record, obviously.
Oh, yeah. That'll be like the end of 22.
Got it. And there is a Ghostlight tour, or there's no tour? There will be a tour in the fall, in the spring?
Yeah. We released some dates
already. Yeah.
Yeah, in the Northeast, and then we'll have another leg of dates, I think, in March or April. And that'll probably be, I don't know. I assume West Coast, and then that'll take us into festival season.
Right.
And then the record will come out in August or September or so. And then we'll go back out and do a bigger one, a bigger tour with behind that record. It's cool, man. There's a lot of great material in there. We're pretty excited for it. It's definitely heavier. Like, it's a way heavier collection of songs than the first group. So that's been exciting. And like working on stuff, you know, the first record, Dan wasn't around. So it's been fun, you know, getting to know Dan in the studio. He's been really great.
Right.
He's a really good engineer and has a good ear for all this stuff. So yeah, man, it's been good.
Have you spoken to Billy Kreutzmann recently? He was sick, and I know that, you know, you play in his band, and I just wondered if you touched base with him because he was sick a couple weeks ago, or maybe not. I don't know. I just thought I'd ask.
I reached out when he pulled out of the Red Rocks thing, just, you know, check in, make sure he's all right. And he was like, yeah, man, just working it out, you know.
You've played Red Rocks. How difficult is it? I mean, you're a younger guy, obviously, but is the altitude, does it really play with you that much?
It's fucking brutal, man. It is brutal. You know, and I can, you know, only imagine that, you know, as you get older, it probably doesn't get easier.
Right.
You know? But yeah, man, that altitude will take you down if you're not, you know, really conscious of it, or at least, you know, or get there a few days early and really acclimate. But, you know, yeah, that's a hard tour date to just kind of come in and hit it, you know.
And what's happening while I have you here, what's happening with J-Rad? I mean, you're have a few dates, and then you're just, it's always just sprinkling in and the other things that you're doing, right? It's not.
Yeah, man. You know, our last show of the year is going to be at the First Bank Center in Denver, which is a fucking great place. It's we've played there once before, I think in 18 or 17, and it was my favorite show that we ever played. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that place.
Was that the Red Rocks cancel show, the snow show? Yeah, that was a hot show.
Great, great fucking night, man. Yeah. We were really in a good place, and so I'm looking forward to getting back to that joint. That's December 3rd, and then we're off until next year. And you know, I mean, the fun thing about J-Rad is that it's only 40 shows a year. Yeah. So, you know, it keeps it special and it keeps it fresh, and it also makes it so we can all be sure to focus on the other things in our lives that we also have interest in.
It's pretty amazing, though, that even doing only 40 dates a year, you still sustain such a very loyal audience and community and can virtually sell out every room you play now with that band.
I mean, dude, everything about that band is definitely incredible and very lucky. We all are very aware of how lucky we are, and we don't take it too seriously because we don't want to, you know, we're not the Grateful Dead, we're just a bunch of dickheads who play the music, you know. But we don't take it for granted, though, that's for sure. We all are very aware of how lucky we are and really try to enjoy it as much as you can.
I'm going to circle back on Lacuna just so that people can really know a lot more about this record. It's about 45 minutes, I think, in total. There are 8 tracks, but really it's one track with this long segment. How did you know where to divide up these songs, or even how to even label them? The one that I thought was funny was Isosceles, only because of your other band song. But how did you come up with the sequencing and the naming of the songs and all that?
Well, you know, that was part of the encouraging thing about, you know, when we're talking about, like, oh, do we make this a record? It's like, well, how does that even work? You know, because it's just one big piece of music. But then in listening to it, it's like, well, we naturally, you know, have ebb and flow, and there's a natural, you know, beginning and end to themes that you know, that we just did. So so in listening to it, we're like, wow, I guess it kind of makes sense. Yeah, we could put a track marker here, you could put a track marker there. You know, it was mildly arbitrary, but we feel it made sense musically.
And then
you just come up with some bullshit names because it doesn't really matter or mean anything, you know. So that was it, you know. It was pretty, you know, like I said, everything about this thing was just pretty easy, man.
Is this going to be the new thing when Tom has friends, they just drop into the studio and you record something? And I mean, it's so easy now. And obviously printing vinyl and printing discs is a little more difficult, but you didn't do that with the Oozazoos. You just kind of put it out there. It makes it easier now that you have a studio and you can just do whatever fuck you want, right?
It's pretty fucking cool and pretty freeing to have that, you know? I mean, that Moore record, the Oozazoos thing was, you know, it was just fucking great, man. You know, those dudes are, I have been playing with those guys since I was a teenager. You know, they're like my oldest and closest, like, musical buds, and it was great to play with them. And I hope that at some point we get to, you know, do some tour dates, you know, maybe next year or some shit. I mean, we've been working on a new record as well with the Moore guys, and that's probably like 3/4 of the way written, I would say. You know, yeah, it's, I mean, you, being, I mean, having the studio, it's like, you know, that's the fucking point, you know, is to just create and do some cool shit, you know? So, yeah, man, the pandemic was obviously a terrible thing. And it was hard for a lot of people in a lot of ways. And it was certainly I struggled with it, but there were some silver linings to it, man. You know, the being able to slow down and, you know, get off the road and see that, you know, just to, I mean, I would have never slowed down if, right. if this thing didn't happen, you know? And to be able to be in the studio and just, again, just create some shit, man. You know, I'm really proud of that solo piano set I did. And the, you know, the Moore stuff is probably my favorite original music that I've ever made. It's like, you know, these tunes go through my entire life, you know, like it's, I really love that stuff. And, you know, this Ghostlight record is fucking killing so far. And I have another probably 30 tunes that will at some point be another project. I don't know whether it's like a solo album or, you know, bring back the babies. I don't know, you know, but it's, you know, there's a whole other stack of tunes that I've been working on through this. So yeah, man, I feel like I'm getting my fucking money's worth.
plus this Lacuna record, which will hopefully people will dig and see, and then go out and see you too.
And plus the Lacuna record, man. And you know, it's gonna be cool that we're gonna do a show at the studio.
Oh wow.
And it's gonna be like a super like exclusive small ticket count, only 40 tickets. And it's gonna be like everybody's gonna have headphones, so it'll be like immersive, you know. And people will be able to come into the inner sanctum and see how the sausage is made. Yeah.
Awesome. Dude, thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Ira, my goddamn pleasure, man.
It's been too long since we last chatted. You've been so busy, and I you know I'm a fan, and fuck that. Those Billy and the Kid shows, especially Hawaii, were just spectacular.
Yeah, man. I definitely, you know, hopefully we do another Mahalo, you know, do another one of those Mahalo things next year, you know.
That boy can still play drums, that's for sure, right?
Dude, I mean, he's great, man. He really is.
Yeah, he's like an engine. He just doesn't stop.
It's fucking inspiring, man. And, you know, and fucking seeing like him and Santana, you know, like yeah, hanging out right. and shit. You're like, yeah, man, these fucking guys both played Woodstock for fuck's sake, you know, right. like. It's
And what about the young whippersnapper? What about Billy? I mean,
Strings, yeah, man, he's great. I mean, yeah, you know, everybody knows him. He's Billy fucking Strings,
right.
You know, kid's a fucking beast. Great hang. You know, it's yeah, man, but definitely looking forward to hopefully that crew all getting back together. You know, and James, you know, I mean, obviously he's dealing with some health problems, but yeah. you know, hopefully that stuff all
works out.
You know, works itself out. And. And, you know, yeah, man, it's a good group of people. So, you know, I definitely look forward to doing at least one or two of those next year, you know?
For sure. All right, man. I've kept you long enough. Thanks for taking the time.
Ira, thank you so much, man. I appreciate your support.
Lacuna is awesome. And we'll be in touch.
Yeah, man. Don't be a stranger, brother.
Always a treat talking shop with Tom about all of his projects. Lacuna is definitely an interesting one, to be sure. One I'd encourage you to check out either wherever you listen to music or live on the series of dates later in the year. For more info, visit lacunaduo.com. Before we leave you, let's have a listen to another track off of Lacuna. Here is Smile Pretty for the Camera. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.